MSO News, giving voice to the North Shore. This is North Shore Today for Thursday, April 25, 2024. Brought to you by Moynihan Lumber. Moynihan Lumber supporting local news coverage and communities on the North Shore. I'm Rick Moore. In today's headlines, Salem City Council to take up issues of homeless encampments tonight. Rockport will hold a special town meeting on Monday. Nahant's annual elections are Saturday.
I'm Bill Newell, and later in sports, our local focus today will be high school softball. Rick?
Yes, sir. Thanks, Bill. Sunny near 50. High tide, Gloucester Harbor, 1:13 p.m. The Salem City Council Subcommittee on Public Health, Safety, and Environment met on Tuesday to discuss and eventually forward along to the entire City Council the mayor's plan to deal with homeless encampments. Critics of the proposal claim that the plan criminalizes homelessness. This is Salem Police Chief Lucas Miller at Tuesday's meeting with a different take on the ordinance.
I think it's also worth saying that I don't in any way pretend that arresting them is going to solve our problem, right? There is a public perception that when I arrest somebody, off they go to jail and you know, they disappear from the scene. But the truth of the matter is, if I were to arrest somebody for this ordinance, they might spend a little bit of time in my lockup before they were brought to court. But they would then go in front of a judge, and the judge would say, this is a very, very minor crime. You're free to go. I'm not a judge. I can't guarantee that in every circumstance, but in every circumstance that I've experienced, that would be true. So then you've done them some harm, and back they are out on the street. So on the one hand, I do believe that the arrest portion is necessary because it's a law, and absent an arrest or a fine, the only remedy for somebody breaking the law is to say, you know, don't do it, or I'll tell you again not to do it. So it really becomes entirely toothless.
City Councilor at Large Conrad Prosnewski, who is a former Salem police officer, is on the subcommittee and added that keeping homeless residents safe is the key to this ordinance, not criminalization of homelessness.
That's our job. We're not warriors, we're guardians. I'm sure you've probably heard that before, but that's taken pretty literally on the Salem Police Department. Criminalizing, well, there's already criminal acts being committed there every day. There's health code violations against mass law and city ordinance. There's building code violations against mass law. If this was the mantra of the police department, those people could have been arrested the first day. No, but we didn't. And the chief is right. You don't arrest your way, you don't find your way. That's not helping these people. Everybody realizes that. We want to help these people get back on their feet. Criminalizing people is absolutely the last resort, because it just doesn't work.
The plan will be in front of the entire city council tonight. Later in today's podcast, we will feature some extended comments from city councilors at Tuesday's meeting to provide additional context to the criminalization attack on the ordinance. The entire meeting can be viewed on Salem Community Access TV. The Danvers Planning Board has approved permits for the redevelopment of the former Danvers Hardware site on Maple Street. Michael McHugh reports in today's Salem News that the plan calls for taking down the current building to create 24 new housing units. Senator Elizabeth Warren is taking on Apple. The Massachusetts senator says it's time to break up the smartphone monopoly that iPhone enjoys.
Green techs on iPhones, they're ruining relationships. That's right. Non-iPhone users everywhere are being excluded from group texts, from sports teams chats to birthday chats to vacation plan chats. They're getting cut out, missing out on plans and conversations. And who's to blame here? Apple. That's just one of the dirty tactics that Apple uses to keep a stranglehold on the smartphone market. Apple has used its monopoly on smartphones to lock Americans into services and amass billions of dollars in profits. Apple even takes a cut every time you use Tap to Pay and has blocked a new app that would have let Android users finally use iMessage and get those blue texts. That's why last month the Department of Justice sued Apple for its broad-based exclusionary conduct. And that's the right thing to do. It's time to break up Apple's monopoly now.
That's Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren. Rockport will be holding a special town meeting on Monday to see if the town will support the measures needed to comply with the state's MBTA housing district mandate. Stephen Hagen reports in today's Gloucester Times, town meeting will consider two articles. The first is a multi-item measure that involves amending the town's zoning bylaws and transit-oriented village overlay district. The second article is aimed at creating a multifamily MBTA district in Rockport. The town of Nahant will be holding its annual town election this Saturday with polls open at 7 a.m. A sample ballot is posted below on today's North Shore Today. And the town of Nahant recently held its first in-person Board of Selectmen meeting at Town Hall last week. Selectman Mark Cullinan polled the audience members as to whether they wanted meetings in person only, Zoom only, or a hybrid combination of the two. The top vote-getter was the hybrid meeting format.
Because I think that's the future. When we first started with the Zoom, it was all new to all of us, and it was a challenge for many of us. But there are people like my mother who's watching this at home right now who can't get on Zoom. So a hybrid situation is really important, I think. I think between the two, I think it really opens up democracy and citizen participation. So I think the more we can go in that direction, the better.
That's Nahant Selectman Mark Cullinan. And the Essex Police Department recently participated in an active shooter drill with several other agencies. Chief Paul Francis explained the exercise to the Essex Select Board at its most recent meeting.
On Saturday, April 13th, members of the Essex Police and Fire Departments, along with members of the Manchester Police and Fire Departments, as well as personnel from North Shore Regional 911 Center, participated in a joint training event at the Manchester Essex Regional High School. The training was part of the ongoing collaboration between all those involved to fulfill active shooter hostile event response training. It's known as ASHA. The requirements and to continue the ongoing work by the public safety agencies of both towns, as well as the administration of the MERSD, Manchester Essex Regional School District. In the coming months, the planning of training events will continue and may include such events as tabletop exercises, which is to be determined, as well as a real-life emergency response drill from the initial report to North Shore Regional 911 and response by police, fire, all the way through to the conclusion of the events. In that situation, we will also have, there'll be school officials involved, there'll be the DPW will be involved because they'll be shutting down streets. We will make sure everybody knows it's a drill, but it's going to go from point A right to the very end to the after action report, or the washout as they call it.
That's Essex Police Chief Paul Francis. Video of the entire April 22 meeting of the Essex Select Board is available at 1623studios.org. Sports next with Bill Newell, followed by North Shore Today Extra. Much more information on the Salem Outdoor Camping Ordinance.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Yes, we are a full-service lumber yard, but we also offer doors and windows and kitchen cabinets. Please visit us in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Taparo Capital Management. It's time to craft your retirement plan. Click on the Taparo banner at the top right of our website and begin creating your winning game plan.
If you're a soap bar user and you're always annoyed by the fact that when you use your entire bar, you're stuck with this little sliver of soap that you don't know what to do with, hold on, because I think I have the solution for you. It's always a pain to have that little sliver of soap that we didn't really know how to use but didn't want to waste and throw away. So we invented this cute, cube-shaped soap bar that then you can place your old little soap sliver right into. There's a carved-out X in the center of the bar that then you can place your old soap sliver into. You just break up that little sliver into pieces that are two or three and it fits right inside. And bam, now you've got a brand new soap bar and you didn't have to waste anything. If that's something you're interested in and you want to support a sustainable small business, then head on over to our shop at exobath.com. You can buy one for yourself or give it as a gift. It ships anywhere in the United States and you can get 20% off your first order.
Click on to the Exobath banner at the top of our website. This is MSO Sports bringing voice to the North Shore. The Bruins did struggle last night in Toronto, but did beat the Maple Leafs 4-2 to take a series lead of 2-1. Game 4 is Saturday night in Toronto at 8 o'clock. The Bruins fight last night. This is Bruin Brad Marchand.
I thought it was good. We stuck with it all game. It wasn't always pretty. And I said it the other day, they're coming very hard. They're playing very physical. But I thought we elevated to another level from where we've been at the first couple games. you know, it was great that it paid off.
The Celtics lost game two of their playoff series with Miami last night, 111-101. The series now tied at a game apiece. Game three is Saturday night in Miami at 6. The Red Sox shut out Cleveland last night. Here's baseball insider Andy Carboni.
Well, last night in Cleveland, the Red Sox shut out the Guardians 8-0. Connor Wong was the story in this one. He went 4-for-4, two home runs. He drove in three, and Rafael Devers returned to the lineup after having knee soreness. He had three hits in the game and also added a home run. So this afternoon, the local nine looked to take the rubber game at this three-game series, the Guardians, playing the final game of this six-game road trip as well. First pitch is at 1:10 with Chase Anderson on the mound. And Anderson is getting the start this afternoon because before yesterday's game, Sox placed pitcher Brian Bayo on the 15-day injured list with right lat tightness. Red Sox now 14-11 on the season. That's good for third place in the AL East. Three games behind the first place Yankees.
Thanks, Andy. The Bishop Fenwick softball team is 3-2 this season. Today they play at Danvers at 4. The Falcons were 9-2 winners yesterday over Masconomet. Fenwick is led by sensational pitcher Gigi Opont. This is her coach, Brian Seabury.
Well, Gigi's, first of all, you know, obviously going to Central Connecticut State, really good pitcher from you know, the sophomore years. Obviously, we're lucky to have her for 3 years. First and foremost, she's probably as good as competitor as we've seen. She takes each batter as like a test for her. She you know, she throws hard. She walks minimal batters per game one, which is obviously attributes to her control. I want to say it, but it's just one of those pitches that you can count on game in and game out to give you a chance to win. She's got five different pitches. She works on a changeup, but her fastball is excellent. She changes speed. She raises it in the zone. She's like I said, she's just a solid high school pitcher and obviously going to be very good in college as well. She's obviously one of the reasons why we've been so successful the last 3 years at Fenwick.
We have a full interview on our website with Coach Seabury, but what makes this team unique?
The group is really good. It's a tight-knit group. We all know that we're not going to the state tournament, and it's easily to mail it in. We could do that. We could do it on my end and their end, but they're committed to winning and finishing this season off with a bang as far as, you know, playing the best we can. I know, you know, we're not going to be able to compete for that state title, which we did last year, and which we will be close to this year as well. But with that being said, it's important for them just to go out and compete, improve, and, you know, show that we belong, which we did in Peabody and, obviously, you know, Archbishop Williams, St. Mary's. Those games are especially important to us to see where we rank among the the state finalists at the end.
Bishop Fenwick coach Brian Seabury. Also, be sure to check out our scoreboard on the website with results from high school and college action all from yesterday. And it's Thursday. That means it's NFL draft day tonight. Patriots picking number 3 as of right now. This is North Shore Today, giving voice to the North Shore, the area's only daily news and sports podcast. Along with Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell, hoping you have a great Thursday. North Shore Today Extra is next. Taparo Capital Management. It's time to craft your retirement plan. Click on the Taparo banner at the top right of our website and begin creating your winning game plan. This is North Shore Today Extra. In today's program, we're going to hear more from Tuesday night's Salem City Council Subcommittee on Public Health, Safety, and Environment regarding the homelessness encampment ordinance that was moved on from that committee and will come before, as you heard in the newscast earlier, with Rick Moore, will be moving to the entire city council tonight. One of the complaints against that ordinance is the criminalization of homelessness. But here, listen to these people. Police Chief Lucas Miller, Jeff Cohen, who is Councilor Ward 5, who is the chair of the committee, Salem City Councilor at Large Conrad Prosniewski, who is a former Salem police officer, also other Salem city councilors will speak very briefly here. But this is an extended clip, probably about 10 minutes long, with comments from Tuesday's meeting. It really does put into context this
criminalization, you know, accusation, or puts it into a somewhat of a context, at least those that are supporting this ordinance.
It's worth noting, right, that we don't pretend that a $300 fine or an arrest is going to solve the problem here. Clearly, the vast majority of folks living in the encampment don't have $300. And I think it's also worth saying that I don't in any way pretend that arresting them is going to solve our problem, right? There is a public perception that when I arrest somebody, off they go to jail and, you know, they disappear from the scene. But the truth of the matter is, if I were to arrest somebody for this ordinance, they might spend a little bit of time in my lockup before they were brought to court. But they would then go in front of a judge, and the judge would say, this is a very, very minor crime. You're free to go. I'm not a judge. I can't guarantee that in every circumstance, but in every circumstance that I've experienced, that would be true. So then you've done them some harm, and back they are out on the street. So on the one hand, I do believe that the arrest portion is necessary because it's a law, and absent an arrest or a fine, the only remedy for somebody breaking the law is to say, you know, don't do it, or I'll tell you again not to do it. So it really becomes entirely toothless. But the arrest portion is really something I very much hope to avoid. And at the risk of repeating myself, the single greatest success of the Boston program was that by the end, they didn't have to arrest anybody. So that really is that is the model that I hope to emulate. And I think there's a common refrain when I negotiate with my union, which is, well, you're a good chief, but we're worried about the next chief. I think if you look historically at the chiefs of the Salem Police Department, every one of them would be in agreement with me. You know, we have had some pretty compassionate chiefs, and I expect to be followed by one, but no time soon.
Chief Miller, as you and your staff and I spoke prior to this meeting, I'm hoping that either you or Captain Burke can talk about what you would envision the process being if or when this ordinance is implemented. So, for example, it's effective May 14th or whatever it is. We spoke about some of the scenarios. I'm not expecting you to go through all the ones that we discussed, but maybe you could talk generally, you and our Captain Burke, about what we discussed. Is that all right?
I think again, looking at what happened in Boston and looking at our current relationship with folks in the encampment and folks in Salem Woods, for instance, we would seek to find them placement as the law requires. But it wouldn't be a you're out now, right? And on the one hand, the law does have that 48-hour window that you mentioned. But that 48 hours, we would not seek to say, all right, listen, you know, your stuff isn't gone in 48 hours, you're under arrest, or we're taking your stuff and we're trashing it. It might be we're taking your stuff and safeguarding it. But to be perfectly honest, so right now, a number of folks from the encampment have moved into the new Lifebridge facility, and they've left their belongings there, and their belongings are in a terrible, terrible state of disrepair. So, and disrepair isn't even the right word. There are hypodermic needles. There is, human waste. There are important belongings that absolutely need to be safeguarded. But I see this less as, you know, I see this as a mechanism to save them from leaving their stuff there and it getting destroyed rather than it be safeguarded by the police department or by another capable entity.
I just want to say that I appreciate your mentality when it comes to these things. And at the last committee meeting, you said something, paraphrasing, we can't arrest our way out of this crisis, right? That's something I appreciate. Just reiterating, we don't know who the next chief will be. You're saying things like you don't plan on actually arresting people, giving people fines, actually implementing, taking someone away after, 48 hours. And yet the language in this ordinance allows for all those types of things. So I'm concerned with the language of the ordinance, not with you.
Well, let me give you an example or an analogy. Right? If you think about public demonstrations, right? You're not allowed to block the sidewalk. You're not allowed to block the street. You can be arrested for that. I'm not going to arrest you for that. And at this point, almost no modern police department would. Might we, if the circumstances really, really required it? Yes. And I think it's important that we retain the laws that prevent blocking the street and blocking the sidewalk. Compassion on the part of modern policing. I mean, we're always trying to improve our game, but at this point, I think that's those are our standard operating procedures.
Thank you. Councilor Prosnitsky.
I just want to back up a little bit of what Chief Mill is trying to say. It's tough for me to take off my councilor hat and put on my old police hat back on, but I want to go back to when the Community Impact Unit was founded back in the early 90s, and I worked under three chiefs. And the goal of that is to keep people safe, to protect them. That's our job. We're not warriors, we're guardians. I'm sure you've probably heard that before, but that's taken pretty literally on the Salem Police Department. Criminalizing, well, there's already criminal acts being committed there every day. There's health code violations against mass law and city ordinance. There's building code violations against mass law. If this was the mantra of the police department, those people could have been arrested the first day. No, but we didn't. And the chief is right. You don't arrest your way, you don't find your way. That's not helping these people. Everybody realizes that. We want to help these people get back on their feet. Criminalizing people is absolutely the last resort, because it just doesn't work. But sometimes you have to be resorted to that in order to just to try to help them out. Because maybe if we can't do something, maybe the courts can see through the forest through the trees and maybe get these people some court-mandated help. For people arguing about criminalization, it just irks me, because that is the furthest thing from the truth that the police department wants to do. That's all I have for now. Thank you.
Councilor Harvey, and then Councilor Merkel, and then hopefully tonight we'll get to public testimony.
Thank you. I'd like to reiterate what Councilor Prosnitsky and what Chief Miller were just talking about. I've gotten multiple emails telling me not to criminalize homelessness, and that's not what we're trying to do here. What we're trying to do is make it safe for people. But you do have to have some sort of rule or, you know, guidelines to go by. We can't just not put something like, you know, the arrest or the fine or whatever in there. And, you know, instead of looking at that as a criminalizing aspect, because homelessness isn't just drug addicts. It's not just alcoholics. It's mental health issues. And if Chief Miller's people find the need to arrest somebody, not necessarily because they're trying to criminalize them, but it's just like, I remember when I was a teenager being PC'd because I was out drinking all night. And that's kind of the same idea as what they're doing. It gives them the opportunity for somebody maybe sober up, or, you know, and then realize, you know what, hey, maybe I do need help. And if that only works with one person, then it's worth it, because it's one life you probably just saved. So it's not a matter of arresting them and turning them into a criminal. It's trying to get them the help that they need. And if that's the last resort that the police department has to do, then I agree with it. I mean, if it saves one life, it's worth it. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Cohen, not being a member of the committee. To Councilor Davis's point and suggestion of maybe 48 hours is a tight timeline, you know, for someone trying to, you know, make connections, establish other options, thinking about, you know, make such a big decision as a move. I was wondering your opinion on Chief Miller, if the 72 hours would be, since you work with people, if that would be a more workable window of time to make it maybe less stressful and more manageable. Would welcome your thoughts on that suggestion.
Chief Miller.
I think the 48 hours is a somewhat arbitrary length of time. I mean, we are trying to be efficient, and to be clear, you know, the 48 hours is not the amount of time that somebody has to move. That's the amount of times they have to remove their property. So there would be ample opportunity for us to safeguard their property during that time. To answer your question more specifically, I don't have a tremendous objection to the 72 hours. Only the
thank you.
Councillor Jerslow.
Thank you, Chair. I just had a few comments. This is a health crisis and an escalating humanitarian crisis. With this no camping ordinance, we aim to address these crises. Despite our differences, we need to seek a meaningful resolution. The homeless encampment across the cities are unsafe both for the at-risk occupants and the community. I've had numerous concerned residents and businesses owners reach out to me urging city officials to preserve the public spaces and protect the public's health and safety. Homeless people should be afforded a safe place where they can shelter, get food, shower, and have basic living necessities in a way that preserves their autonomy. And this ordinance addresses those issues. I applaud Mayor Pangallo, along with city officials and LifeBridge Shelter, and working together and obtaining a temporary shelter to get the homeless and camp occupants off the street. As city councilors, we now need to do our part and voting in favor of this ordinance and send it to the council with a positive recommendation. Thank you.
I'm going to make a couple of statements, and then we are going to turn it over to public testimony. And this is very reflective of what discussions I've had in the community with Councillor Davis and my friends from, hi, Skylar, and others. And it's twofold. We're kind of in a situation where we're potentially starting an ordinance when we have a sympathetic, sensitive mayor and a police department that is willing to work with people in the community, differently than other police departments in the state. And I feel very lucky personally for that and for the people who live in our community. I'm also very proud that we have LifeBridge. I'm glad we have LifeBridge. There's not a lot of communities that have a LifeBridge or Harbor Light. And so, to Councillor Davis's point, we don't know what's in the future, but this is, if this goes forward, we revise ordinances all the time. And I want to make a statement to everyone here and in the public that, we pass laws, and it's really incumbent not only on us to monitor them, but there's a whole bunch of people in this room and people I've received over 300 emails, who are going to find us accountable, and we are going to react if we have to. And I'm not saying that this is the perfect, situation. It's something that we're considering, and those are really two important points. I don't think we would be where we are today if we had a different set of city staff and LifeBridge involved in this and the solicitors involved in this process. So
that final voice is of Jeff Cohen, who is Ward 5 city councilor and chair of the City Council Subcommittee on Public Health, Safety, and Environment, and that audio was taken from Tuesday's meeting, and it is available on Salem Access or Salem Community Access Television for that entire meeting. And again, it all comes before tonight's City Council meeting in Salem. This is MSONewsSports.com, and this is North Shore Today Extra.